Hello and welcome to the Conscious Diva podcast. I'm Tatiana and joining me today is the spiritual activator, Oliver Nino. Oliver is a sacred geometry and energy activation expert, a thought leader, and celebrity spiritual advisor. In this episode, we talk about signs and how to recognize them, especially as they pertain to manifestation. We also chat about how to recognize and how to accelerate what we want to manifest, and that manifestation isn't limited to just wanting a new car or that dream job, and that we are constantly manifesting whether we realize it or not. Oliver also shares his unique way of seeing sacred geometry, which is very cool. And of course, we talk about his new awesome book, Spiritual Activator, 5 Steps to Clearing, Unblocking, and Protecting Your Energy to Attract More Love, Joy, and Purpose. I hope you enjoy this thought-provoking interview with Oliver Nino. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to start with asking you and open it up to what lights you up the most with the work you do?
Ooh, multiple thoughts. One is the challenge and the opportunity to reach more people, right? For me, it's just exciting. How do you crack the code? How do you reach more people? How do you elevate more consciousness and do it in a faster manner, right? That excites me. What excites me as well is just seeing human potential, right? Seeing somebody get out of suffering and how quickly can they get out of suffering. And I know majority of the work that I do and a lot of light workers do, we might never know the ripple effect that we cause. I mean, it's just impossible to get all that feedback. But the feedback that I do get from people's lives that I do get to change, for me, that's it drives me, right? I'll give you an example. I had a gal that was part of our community, went to our workshops, and I knew her for about a year, but I didn't know her backstory that well. And one day she just ended up saying that, you know what, I watched one of your videos online and it saved me from suicide. Mm-hmm. And it got to me because I'm like, wait, first of all, what video? It saved me from, and she told me the story. She was about to commit suicide. A video of mine randomly popped and she listened to it. And because of that, she didn't do it. And I'm like, wow. So I'm like, so ever since I learned that, I'm like, I've got to make my videos more potent and more impactful because I don't know who's listening to my videos. And if a video of mine, can save a life, then everything I do moving forward should be potent, will be potent. I won't film it. I won't post it. I won't write about it unless it's something that I'm 100%, passionate and potent about, because it's that kind of, I think, energy that can really be felt by somebody across the world, from a computer as they're watching or looking under their phones. So that's, for me, it's what excites me is how many people I can reach, mm-hmm. how fast I can reach them, how deep I can help them, and also how quick that process can be. If I can eliminate suffering, a day shorter or an hour shorter than it could have been, for me, that's the goal. It's always optimizing how to end that for people.
On the subject of your videos, I was actually going to ask you this later, but the point you made was, in air quotes, random, but yeah. It wasn't really random for her. That was, she was meant to see that and experience that video that day in that moment. Right. And so I'd love for you to talk about, you have on your main, the Spiritual Activator website, you've got a few little videos there, 5, I think. And one of them, actually, they're all great, but one of them, you talk about manifestation, and manifestation, it doesn't just relate to abundance and getting the car or the dream job or partner or house. In this instance, she didn't realize she was manifesting. So the question I want to ask is, how do we know? How can we get on the frequency of manifesting something when we don't even know that we're really manifesting something we're supposed to bring into our lives? Significant change, for example.
Yeah, here's the thing is we're manifesting, and my wife says this all the time from her books, we're manifesting all the time, right? It's like, it's not like, can you manifest? We already are.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, you manifest from a place of duality. So yes, you're getting the raise or getting extra money, but then your car breaks down or bills show up, or you're finding, you know, love and you think you did. Next thing you know, they're closed off, or they're like, you know, they're unavailable, or it's hot and cold. So we're manifesting this place from duality. And a lot of it is based on really our vibration, our personal vibration. The way I look at it is, simply put, like our vibration dictates our reality. Right. So, and the way I look at a vibration, I look at it like channels on a television. Mm-hmm. If you're on a horror channel, right, then everything that you see, you hear, the script, the music, the sound, everything is designed to produce certain emotions, whether they're fear, anxiety, overwhelm, like, you know, and that's what you experience. And if you're wanting to experience happiness, love, and joy in a horror channel, you're in the wrong channel.
Yeah.
You might get 0.001% of it, but it is very much you're going against the flow of the tide there. It's like, it's almost impossible, right? And a lot of times people were taught as human beings to stick it out, work hard, it's suffering. And in certain ways, yes, I do agree that, yeah, we have to take massive inspired action whenever we're inspired and guided. But you know, when you're looking at something like vibrational reality, it's the solution is to change the channel that you're on versus trying to wish that it would change when everything in that channel is designed for one specific purpose, right?
Yeah.
And people don't realize that. And for me, when I realize that, you know, our thoughts, you know, they produce energy, our emotions mm-hmm. produce energy, our decisions produce energy, right? That's the conscious things that we're aware of. But on the unconscious side, like, there are things that are invisible. Like, if we have traumatic events that have happened in our lives in the past, they leave an energetic remnant that's still affecting our energy till today, even though we don't think about them. Our environment affects our energy, right? People that are around us affects our energy. Gestational and generational, you know, trauma that's passed on
Absolutely.
Affects our energy. We never think about it. So mm-hmm. when you're thinking about vibration, you've got what's conscious and unconscious is affecting your energy, right? But the thing is, you don't have to go one-on-one and kind of like figure out which one you're going to do. You can just look at energy as a whole because they all leave an imprint. And when you address energy as a whole, you might have a block in your heart that's being removed. And when it's removed, that might be related to 30 limiting beliefs. You got 20 traumatic life events, and you'll never know what it was, and you'll never need to, and it has the same effect on your vibration. Next thing you know, you're experiencing things, right, that are just happening, and you don't know where they're coming from, but they're just happening for you. It's because you're in a different vibration. So the way I look at it is, people, when it comes to manifesting, they're thinking too much on the humanistic level. I want this, I want that. But the thing is, how do we really know what we want? We're wanting it based on who we are now, which is who we don't want to be moving forward. We want to be a better version of ourselves. So it's very limited when we do it from a place of wanting, because we don't have foresight. We can't see. We don't have line of sight to it. And a lot of times I've seen people, as they grow, the things that they want change. Their goals change. Their desires change when they grow, when they shift, when trauma and it is no longer a part of their story disempowering them. They want different things, right? So mm-hmm. for me, the way to go by it is play the vibration game. Realize that that's probably the best leverage you can have, that when you work on one thing, and if it's the right thing, it affects 10,000 different things, right? And it can happen fast. And when you're in a different space, like, you know, you start getting used to a different story, new decisions, and new things that you experience in life in all the best of ways. So the way I look at manifestations, I look at it holistically. I don't look at it as, ooh, what's the one thing that this and that, because you can do that, but manifesting is, like, in my mind, is it's supposed to be just a way of being. And when you do it right, the things that are the best for you just come. You don't even have to put all this energy into, because it takes a long time, it's possible to wanting it, because when you do it from that place unhealed, it creates duality. Whereas if you're just living the vibrational game, you can, there's so much, many more things, like purpose work, right? Like giving back, like making a difference, like enjoying the best that life has to offer, like thriving, there's so many different, there's life beyond manifesting. And people, I think, don't teach that it's a lifestyle of how you are versus what you do.
Yes. Yeah. And I think there's a lot to do also with aligning onto that frequency of vibration and witnessing the signs that can actually guide you to aligning. So would you agree with that?
Yes.
So can you, I'd love for you to explain that. How do you teach people how to align and recognize signs that might be coming, you know, maybe give an example of a couple of people you've worked with who had no idea. Once you explained it to them, they were like, oh my God, I never even thought that was, you know, a thing I should follow up on or whatever it is. Cause then once you move forward, you really do, you step into that we live in the flow.
Yeah. So the signs, I look at it as intuitive pings, as guidance. It's like if somebody, whether you believe in God, higher power, universe, like, you know, they're putting a request, they're having a question. Sometimes you don't even have a request or you don't have a question. It's just this higher power knows what's coming up and knows how to guide you to the path of least suffering and the path that's the quickest way to get to where you want. At times people don't see it that way. And the signs are everywhere.
I say the path of least resistance or the path of resistance. Is it going to be hard? It's going to be easy. It's
a path. We don't see it as much, but it's the path of least suffering is the way I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And if it's and sometimes the path of least suffering might have you do more upfront work now so it doesn't drag on for 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Right. But the thing is, as humans, we're typically not trained to think long-term. Like everything is designed for instant gratification. So what we think is now, we think is permanent, right? And if we think it's bad, we think it shouldn't be the case, right? But the reality is, the way I look at it is, hey, you can drag this on for 20, 30, 40 years and never get anywhere. Or you can learn the lesson now and compact it. And when you do, and that's the price sometimes you pay for faster manifestation.
And the lessons will come back over and over.
Yeah,
be thrown in your face, and sometimes worse and worse until you suddenly go, okay, I can do something about it.
So for me, the way I look at it is, signs are here to guide us. It's when you listen to them, it leads you exactly where you need to be, right? But the thing is, there's a lot of things going on. Sometimes it's external stimuli to where there's a lot coming at us at any given time, whether you're empathic and it's energy, or whether it's information from Wi-Fi or ELFs or the media or just whatever we're exposed to, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, like energetic toxins, we're exposed to it to where we can't differentiate noise and signs. We can't differentiate the signal from the noise, right? Signal is the sign. We can't, we don't know. When we're processing tens and thousands of things a day, how do you know what's the sign, what's that, right? And that's why a lot of it is why people meditate or get in a state of clarity or, you know, put themselves in, you know, flow tanks, because they're trying to pretty much tune down, lower the external noise so they can have a chance of feeling, hearing, seeing, experiencing what these signs are, right? So that's one of the things to see. But the way I look at signs is they are here to guide us, to help us, to usher us exactly where we want. And sometimes it might not look like, feel like, you know, what's needed, but who are we to judge? I mean, our minds are not designed to create the future. It's here, you know, a lot of times to repeat the past based on patterns that we are certain about, but it can't create future. So think about it. When we follow the mind and the patterns it tells us, it keeps us in status quo. It's designed to keep us in a place of certainty, survival, status quo, don't rock the boat. Don't bring up unnecessary trauma that can cause you to spiral, all those different things. Mm-hmm. It's not the best place to create the future with. It's good for to-do lists and all this and looking at patterns and, like, you know, and remembering things, sure. But creating a future that you want, it doesn't come from the mind. It comes from someplace higher.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Can you give an example just so that listeners can understand, well, what might a simple sign look like if it was sort of presented as something, you know, because they can be honestly, like the lady in the beginning who saw your video, that was a sign to go and look and follow through on that. But there's other examples, you know, where, you know, maybe someone lost their job and you feel like you're in a bad situation, but actually there might be something, you know, better that comes out of it. You just never know. In that moment, things, sometimes signs, like you said before, don't look like they're positive signs because a struggle might be around it. But sometimes they may be as simple as someone shows up at your door with something that, you know, Something was dropped off, or you saw a flyer in a store, or you know, the grocery store on the wall that made you be, you know, be directed or pull the number off or whatever it is. So can you give some real examples?
Yeah, I mean, it's different. It could be signs, could be numbers, 11-11, 222, 333. And you can see it everywhere. Clocks, cell phones, length of messages when they text you, receipt, license plate, like, you know, address, like, you know, and it's just one of the things to where it's just, you're seeing a pattern repetitively. And the more you, and it's, and a lot of times when you become more open to seeing signs, like, it's kind of like when you like a car, all of a sudden it's everywhere. You see it everywhere. Right. And you see it, you're like, oh wow. It's not like it wasn't there before, but now you're with your mind is now zooming in on the things that are within that bandwidth of importance. Yeah. Right. So you're like, I want to buy a car. It's now all you see everywhere, because now you're paying attention instead of being like, let me just deal with 100,000 things that come to me towards the day. Now it is like, I know exactly where that is, like what I'm looking for. So you can, it's easier for us to focus because we know what we're looking for. Sometimes it's numbers, we're looking for repetitive numbers. Sometimes it can be the songs and the movies. Like, you know, have you ever had it to where you're thinking about something, you're working on something, next thing you know, the show that you're watching has a similar lesson or situation than what you're experiencing. You're like, oh my gosh, right? So you've got that. It could be, it literally could be people around you. Cause a lot of times people around us, we're a lot of gifted people are here. Right. And they, a lot of times someone can be an unconscious channel. They don't know they're channeling, right? So they can literally be put in your life and they say something that they were supposed to say to you, and it might not even make sense to them, but it makes all the sense in the world to you. So that's one way of doing it. Another one can be your environment. So the way I look at it is where my wife and I are very, very experiential, visual. It has to be in our face. So if we're on the right path, right, and we're doing the right thing, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, like, you know, things, like, you know, amazing things happen.
Yeah.
When we're off track, we know as well. Mm-hmm. And the patterns come. They're more than three. There's several that come repetitively throughout the day. And you're like, okay, I'm in the wrong vibration here. Mm-hmm. Right. So a lot of the times, like we, and sometimes it's an internal feeling. Like, you know, somebody wants, you know, wants to go out, or wants to go somewhere, or they meet somebody and they've got this almost like power center feeling, and it's like something is affecting them, or they're anxious, or they're hyperventilating, or they feel good, right? So a lot of times it can be that, or it can be through dream form, right? You know, or you just know, you're just like, I just know, right? So a lot of times people see signs differently, and the thing to realize is, looking at your past, looking at how have you historically received signs. Because once you know that, then it's easier for you to be like, all right, these are every time something great happened, this is what happened. Or sure, or something, look at something painful and ask yourself, did you have red flags that popped up earlier on? And how did the red flags show up? Did you just know? Did you feel it? Did you have a feeling about it, right? And a lot of times people are like, yeah, I kind of had a clue that was happening earlier on, but we just ignore it because we just think, you know, might as well give it, you know, because we want something. It has a payoff to where we're like, we ignore the red flags and the signs because we're just like, might be something good towards Dan. And every single time we get bit, every single time. But the thing is, there's a pattern of signs that we have. And once we're aware of it, we can instantly tune in and know what it is when it happens, and it becomes easier, right? So a lot of the times I'd encourage people to just look at the patterns.
So what's interesting about that, and thank you so much for giving those examples, a couple things I was thinking about with signs, you know, I'm actually working on writing a memoir, and I was trying to figure out the structure of the memoir. And I also have a guest house, and this was about maybe 6 months ago. So someone had stayed in my guest house and they left the book, Glennon Doyle's memoir, actually, brand new, unread, and totally like in the guest house. And I was like, huh. And I picked it up and I was like, and flicked through it. And then I was like, well, thank you. universe, this is a gift to show me the guidance I was looking for to like understand better how, you know, as an example, how maybe I should move forward structuring my memoir. So that, you know, for me, that just came to mind as an example. And then one just now, like about an hour ago, which was ridiculous, actually, I really should have listened to this one. So I was away in Nepal last month with my teacher doing some up-leveling work and going on a pilgrimage. And I received a beautiful quartz.
Oh, wow.
Healer. So I work, this is what I work with. We empower these objects and work with them. And I was using it this morning when I was meditating, and I really wanted to hold it today during our interview. And I had received the message, go and get the rice. How you keep them is when they're empowered in rice with the dagger side down. Oh, wow. And I, it was in my pocket, and I just thought to myself, I don't need to go upstairs and get the rice, the thing. It's fine. It's just, I've got a deep pocket in my pants. And sure enough, I sat down and it fell out of my pocket onto the floor. The tip broke.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh my God. Meanwhile, I'm hearing all of my spirit guides laughing at me, going, yeah, we told you so. And I was just like, I couldn't get upset. Like, what could I do? I couldn't get upset. I was like, oh, no, you told me to go up and get the rice, the bowl of rice to put it, you know, the jar. I'm like, I know. And then I went and I was like, can I super glue it back together? And they said, yes, my God, yes. So I then got out the little tiny super glue, and it freaking exploded on my hands. Which then my rings all stuck to my finger, and I had to then stick my hand, like lather it all up with coconut oil to just lubricate the glue off. But anyway, that's kind of a funny.
And science happened. That's exactly a pattern of science, to where it's something seemingly outrageous might happen, because it's like, sometimes signs are like,
and I so knew. I was like, I should go up, but I was like, nah, I'm okay. And then of course, so yeah.
And a lot of it is great, because if you can see the pattern in small things, when it's the big things, and we are typically hijacked by our brain because we want something, we want an outcome, like we've hopefully built enough of a relationship with patterns and small things, to where when the big things come, we can just trust and surrender.
Oh yeah.
Right? No, because that's the biggest thing, is like, the more we want something, the more attached we are to like perfection, and the more we override intuition and we get tunnel vision. And if it's not a match for how we think, which is the mind again leading, it should be done, then we kind of shove it to the side, not knowing that that's exactly.
Oh yeah, I have that with my house. I'm always really in tune with my house spirits, and they'll always say, you need to do this, you need to do this, whatever it is with a repair. And my husband will go, really, do we have to do that now? We're gonna commit to this other renovation or this other project or whatever it is. And another example of that is, like, I knew we needed to fix something. And 2 days ago, we were downstairs in our son's bedroom, and I hear this while my daughter's showering, and I look up at the ceiling, and it's got water. It's not dripping from the ceiling, but clearly it had been going on for a few days because there was a stain. And I was just like, well, we were going to renovate her bathroom. I was like, okay, then the house is telling us it's time now. We've got no longer waiting. We have to, like, it's time now.
And a lot of it can be animals. I've seen it with animals, houses, cars, electronics, gadgets, things that get your attention, that kind of matter in a way, or like, this is, and I, you know, and I know there are times to where we knew we had to move and we didn't, and it was like, I can tell you stories of like all of a sudden a lot of insects and, you know, and dead birds all of a sudden like increasingly showing up, like you know, and then flooding in, you know, pipe, all those different things,
like, all these things that tell you, and you know, you do, I already knew, but I was like,
it makes it abundantly clear of like, hey, this is not a coincident, it might be, and it's gonna keep on gradually or rapidly increasing and showing up until you pay attention. And a lot of the times it's happening for our best good.
Oh, totally, for your best interest. Absolutely. 100%.
You know, you think like, oh my gosh, like it's flooding, it's going to cost money, it's this, it's that, the computer broke, the car broke. It's like, do you know what it's saving you from?
If you that's what I always say to my husband. I'm like, I realize.
You're being saved from something 1,000 times worse than this. This is the gentle gentle.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Perfect. I'm like, the house is giving us a sign. It's telling us it needs to do this. We need to do this now. And it'll give back to us later on. Like, I can't tell you when or how in what form, but it will give back to us. So anyway, just giving you those examples. But I wanted to just switch gears for a minute, because I talk about a little bit of your upbringing and your exposure to medicine men and women in Manila growing up in the Philippines, because I think that is really insightful and such a lovely part of your heritage and your background. So would you mind just sharing a little bit about what it was like growing up in this environment and being exposed to, I mean, they weren't necessarily teachings because you weren't being taught, but you were absorbing what you were witnessing.
I mean, a lot of the times, honestly, it's like, it's that invisible environment. And here's the thing, a lot of times people turn off their spiritual gifts, their intuition, because their environment makes it seem weird, right? You got parents or family members that are afraid. They've seen a lot of ghost horror movies, or they don't want to be judged, or they want to be odd one out, to where we as kids shut off our gifts, our lights, the things that we can do, because we don't want to lose love and connection, be weird, or be ostracized. Or see pain made fun of, right? Or maybe it was on. Nobody taught us how to embrace it. They didn't know how. Therefore, we're experiencing an overactive third eye, an overactive spiritual or supernatural gift, and we have no control over it. And it's scary, right? And you're like, all right, let me just run away and shut it off, which is like the beginning of a long cycle of unnecessary suffering, right? But for me, the benefit of it was like, it was so normal. My mom talked about it. Well, aunts talked about it. It was part of the culture. It was no big deal, right? To where I think it ingrained this unconscious belief that it's like energy is real. There's more than one way to do it than going to the doctor. And there's more than one way to address things than what you can see in the physical realm. There's this invisible world that, you know, you don't see, but it controls and affects everything in this energy. And it made it normal, which probably the best thing that's ever happened to me, make it normal. Because once it's normalized, then I am not shut off to the idea of what I experience beyond my senses.
Yeah, right? And it is normal in Southeast Asia. It is totally normal. Totally
normal.
The spirit realm is respected as much, if not more, than the living realm, right?
Of course, yeah. And for me, I think that's, it didn't mean that I dove deep into it, because I didn't. I mean, even because it was normal, I didn't have an aversion towards it, but I didn't have an affinity towards it either, to where I grew up most of my life not like relying mostly on my logical mind, left brain, and planning, till later down when it came up as an option to explore, I did. And I think the upbringing of it being normal, like, really lend a hand to that, to be able to explore it, go deep, and not, you know, not be shying away from it. I feel like it did what it needed to do. And the thing with energy is, like, it does what it needs to do, and it bypasses your mind.
Yeah.
So I don't even know even a 1% of the benefit that it probably, like, had in my life. Like, I'm looking at it from a very logical perspective. I don't know the things that I would never know, the ones that I don't know. But I'm pretty sure it had a tremendous impact.
I mean, I almost feel like the way you teach, you've completely normalized spirituality, normalizing. And when I say normalizing spirituality, as in, it's not woo-woo, it's not weird to kind of, there's nothing wrong with you or strange. If you have abilities that allow you to see and hear into another realm, because everyone's spiritual gifts are different. It's so interesting. It's like, there's not one type of doctor, right? Who performs surgeries on everybody. It's very specialized. And the same with healing, with spiritual gifts. It's not everybody has the same thing. So I can see with the growing up in an environment that just completely, it's part of everyday life. It's not a strange thing. And having the spiritual be present, as well as whatever else was going on, because we live in the modern world, there's, it's transferred over into your work. in a really
good way. Yeah, it has. And I think that's one of the things that I'm like, you know, a few things. I mean, I suck at a lot of things, but there's a few things that I'm pretty good at. And one of them is probably simplifying things in a way where it's understandable, digestible for a lot of people. And I have a factor in how people might think. And a lot of times it's I had to work, even that I had to work on, because I realized where I am now isn't who I'm trying to serve, right? If I'm trying to serve more people, I got to remember who I was 10, 15, 20 years ago when I was in that situation, which requires me to take, you know, off my hat of who I am now and wear the hat of how does it feel to be where I used to be.
Yeah.
So I can be connected to who I'm trying to serve and then start there and realize that, you know, that's even that is a specific demographic, not even all segment of who I'm trying to serve. But if I'm trying to serve more people, like, and that's the exciting part about, like, you know, of being able to really serve people there, right? Like, for example, last event that we did, we do these virtual events and in-person events. And the in-person events aren't as scalable. We can only fit like 100 people in our retreat center, right? And so as far as the business model, it's a little bit limiting, but we have a virtual side to it where last one we did is we had 6,000 people who paid to do our weekend event virtually, right? Yeah. And although that's fun, I find it fulfilling meeting people face-to-face as well. Even if it's not the scalable thing to do, for me, I learn so much. Because I meet people from all walks of life, from 60 plus different countries, who have different stories, who have different ways of viewing the world, ways of viewing energy, you know, how it affects them. And having, you know, that type of variety of data to work with, I see patterns that most people don't see in the spiritual world. I see real world patterns and how it affects people and who typically has this, so on and so forth. And once you see it once, it might be a coincidence, but once you see it thousands of times over and over and over again, they become undeniable. Like, all right, there's just no other way. This has just showed up so many times. It's not coincidence. Now it's a fact, right? And a lot of the work that techniques that I teach, the things that I've come to learn and realize, a lot of them have come from a lot of the channel, but a lot of them were from observing and helping people, real people who are seemingly different, but there's things that are interconnected with all of us. Like, you know, that that once we start seeing the patterns, they're like, wow, that is true, regardless of background, religion, you know, age, you know, and upbringing.
Yeah. And so it made me think of your new book. Is that how you arrived at writing Spiritual Activator? Because you have the five steps, and of course those five steps are clearing, unblocking and protecting your energy to attract more love, joy, and purpose. But is that how you came? I was just wondering this as you were talking, if that's how you arrived at creating your book, because it's like you've made all these observations and are now wanting to share, wow, I can help people in another way through another platform.
Absolutely. And I think people don't realize, like, even though I'm extremely like on the energetic spiritual side, like I'm predominantly left brain, right? And it's gotten better throughout the years to where I just surrender and trust are easier now than it was 20 years ago. But before something rolls out to the public, people don't realize how much testing goes into making sure it works. It has to work for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I share it with people around me. It has to work for them. Then I share it with our community. We have 3 million people in our community. I have to see raving reviews. It has to change someone's life. I have to try it out. Then I have to give it to our certified healers and coaches, and they've got to use it in their training. And only after we've done that to where I have seen irrefutable evidence that it works, do I roll it out in a mass way and put it in a book. So when I put things in a book, it is things that I know how work, they're time tested, and it's changed lives. So there's no theory, everything there is practical. And yeah, I mean, it's for me, the reason why it works is because I'm able to blend both worlds. I'm able to blend the energetic and spiritual world. And I'm also able to, you know, love the part of me that's analytical, that likes to test stuff, that likes to prove it, likes to simplify it. And as I blend both, I'm able to, in my mind, reach more people because I can step between both worlds of, hey, I'm going to be extremely spiritual and channel this stuff and energetic. And you know what? I'm going to also put in my human hat because I am human and simplify and look at things from that point of view. And the mixture of both is, I think, how I'm able to really reach more people, you know, in a way. So the book, yeah, it is a compilation of everything that's worked the best over the last 20 years that if, let's say, for example, I could travel back in time to my 20 years ago and I couldn't say anything to my younger self, I can only give something, I would hand my book. You know, it's one to where if, you know, I created it so I can give it to my son and they can give it to their kids, it can be passed on. And even if that's the only thing that they had, I'll be rest assured that they would have the best shot at life, because no one gives us a handbook on how to really understand our energy, the spiritual world, our gifts when we were born, right? It's never taught to us. It's like trial and error. So for me,
that kind of taught the opposite, to forget about them, actually.
Yeah, forget about them, and it's trial by error, and it's like the way everything's set up is opposite. Right. So for me, I wrote the book that I wish I would have had growing up.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. Like this life tool manual, in a sense, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. Energy is the most underrated thing, but it's as essential as the air we breathe and the water that we drink daily. But nobody goes all in at it. Right. So for me, I believe, like, you know, when you talk about purpose in life, we have a variety of it. And one of my many missions is to make energy healing and clearing spirituality and put that in the map.
What a beautiful gift to the world. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for putting this out. And it's coming out March 2023, so early next year. But I saw on Amazon, it's already gone to like number one in new releases. I was
we mentioned it a few times. I mean, honestly, like it's the funny thing about our business, we did it reverse. A lot of people build the book to build the business. Like ours is like, we built the business and then the book is just to reach more people.
Yeah.
Right. It's just to really, for me, it's to reach the unreachables. It is to, I know there's somebody that we won't find them on the internet. They're not on social media, right? They might not even speak the same language as I do.
Yeah.
But they need this information and the book can be translated, can be given, can be shared. Right. And for me, that's the purpose. Is the book, I wanted to reach more people, even if I never had a shot at seeing them live, hugging them live, you know, them being in an event, and this is my shot at affecting and impacting their lives is a book. So for me, even though it's the least profitable thing in the business, right, and we lose money every time we release a book, you would think we would make money. No, like, you know, with the things that we're doing, like, you know, we take a break from all the things and we focus on it. But the for me, the impact is important. The reach more people that I can't reach is more ranks above the business growth, the way I look at it. So for me, it's important because it's going to live beyond me. So I got to make sure that it's really potent and it does what it needs to do, you know?
Yeah. Congratulations. That's really awesome. Yeah. I love it. Tell us the name of your book.
Spiritual Activator, right? And a lot of the time we went through a lot of different iterations of it, and then they're like, you know what, just call it Spiritual Activator and give them the steps of, like, you know, if they're empathic, if they're overwhelmed, if they have lack of clarity and purpose, or if they're not experiencing abundance, or they're just like, you know, they're having like physical ailments, what are the steps? I'm like, sure, here are the 5 steps, they work every time, let's do it. Right. So that's kind of like the idea is, like, no matter where you are, like, there is something that you want in your life right now, whether it's more abundance, love, joy, peace of mind, just feeling good, wellness, optimal wellness. And the 5 steps, since everything is energy, they work and they address everything that anybody could want. Because a lot of the times, the reason why we don't have it is because we're not an energetic vibrational match, or we have energetic blocks, or we're not stepping into the highest version of ourselves. So the 5 steps helps address all that, so we can, you know, experience life that we want, right? And that's kind of like, and here's the thing is, I say this all the time, is like, healing is not a permanent thing in life. Life isn't meant to be spent just healing.
Yeah.
Healing is meant to be a phase, right? We come in life perfect, whole, with gifts, super elevated, and life happens to us. we heal so we can get back on track, mm-hmm. start thriving, and then we can give the gifts that we're here to give, you know, and share the message we're here to share. Life is not all about staying in that healing phase, always trying to heal for the rest of your life. There's life beyond healing, and there's thriving and there's giving back. And I try to reduce the healing phase, and I'm seeing people do it in months, in a year or two, right? Where they couldn't do it for 20, 30 years. And then once they're done with that, they're like, wow, there's a life after healing. And you have to explore that new identity, that new chapter, and get used to it, because it's very different from what it used to be, right? And we might be attached at times unknowingly or consciously to what we're comfortable with, but the new chapter, what we have yet to experience, it's amazing. But we don't have any idea or paradigm of what it even feels like. And everybody we look around us, no one's living that life. So we're like, it might seem foreign, but the reality is, I think that we're not here to relive things. We're here to end things. We're here to end old cycles and patterns that have been going on generationally or in society. And we're the ones to put an end to it, to get into the new chapter. So we might be the first one. And it's not fun being the first one in your family, the first one in your generation to do it, but someone's got to do it. Yeah. But then guess what? Once you do it and you become an example of what's possible, more people follow and show up. But a lot of times I feel like, you know, you, I, and like and the people that are doing the work, it's hard because no one's come before us. You don't know anybody in your family that's doing what you're doing, what you're about to do. Therefore, it's uncharted territory, and it requires us to flex muscles, like surrender, right? And living life for the highest good of all and divine synchronicity.
Yeah.
And when we do, life gets better. But it's one of the things to where, like, you know, that's the thing is you just realize that we're here to make the change, not be part of a system that is existing that's causing pain systemically.
Mm-hmm. So well put. Thank you very much. That was really, very heartfelt and really beautiful and so true. Thank you. I'm really curious about how you see sacred geometry, actually, mm-hmm. and how that was. I read your story of how you were tuned to it and you were awakened to it, but not everyone has that gift of seeing sacred geometry as it presents itself. And when I work on people, I see it on them, not on myself, but in very unique ways. So I'd love to know, how did you, when you first started to experience this, how was that for you, and what did that involve?
Yeah, and I want to pre-frame it by, some people, we have different ways of perceiving energy. For some of the people, they know it, they hear it, they feel it, they see it.
For sure.
And there's no right or wrong way. It's just how you perceive or translate, or
my audience. Yeah. Sentient. Yeah.
But for me, at the very beginning, it showed up in dream form, or I would just be, I don't want to even say in meditation, because that never really resonated with me. I would just be in a connected state that you can be in that while you're driving, while you're talking to somebody. It's just like the energy flows through you and you're just like, where am I? Right.
You're in the, it's like a down, like a stream of something.
Yes. You're connected to something higher. Even though the real world is happening as you're going, you know, you're in a very different place and it's very surreal. Right. So it was one of those moments. And when that happened, it's like images started flashing, not in my visual eyes yet. It was just more of like, what is this? Like, I could like kind of see it with my eyes open in my mind, if that makes sense. And it started off as that. And then as it progressed, like, and I could start seeing it from thin air, like, you know, like almost like molecules and different shapes and spirals. And I thought I was crazy at first. I'm like, this is me. And one time, one of my earlier workshops in Sedona, I walked outside and I started seeing it. It was like different things that were, and I was like, it's just me. So I called everybody. And I was like, can you guys see it? Because I thought it was just, you know, maybe it's my eyes, maybe it's a mirage. And everybody started seeing it as well. They're like, oh my, it took them, some of them saw it right away. Some of them took them a while, like 2-3 minutes. And they're like, oh my God. And they started seeing what I was seeing. So I knew I wasn't crazy. And here's the kicker to that. We had one of our attendees. She was from Sweden. And, you know, she brought her kid. So her kid was about 5 or 6 years old, didn't speak English. And he was on his little iPad, and his and the mom was calling him, kind of, come look, like, you know, come look. So the kid was really, really annoyed. It was like, I couldn't understand the word he was saying. The kid goes outside, and the mom was like, look, there's these things. Can you see him? And he takes a pause from his iPad, looks, huffs and puffs, becomes really annoyed, says something in Swedish. And I was like, I don't even know what he said. And the mom was laughing. She's like, he's annoyed because he says, mom, what's the big deal? I see this all the time. Goes back to playing the iPad, and I'm like, all right, I'm not making this up.
You're not hallucinating. You're totally normal.
Exactly. So for me, that's the biggest thing. People say like something with your eyes, different things, different that. All right, yeah. Great. Let me bring more people into it and let's see if it's just really me. So that was one of the first, what I call confirmations. I mean, I've had plenty since then, but it's like one of those things to where it's like, all right, you know, I guess this is more to this than meets the eye. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not making it up, because a lot of times when you're doing this, it's easy for you to think you're making it up, right? Because you're like, yeah. how do you just know? How are you just getting visions, right? And especially if you grew up in an environment where the message is you're not enough and who are you, then you're always self-doubting, maybe people who are spiritual and gifted are, but I'm not wearing white and I'm not 30 years on top of a mountain meditating.
Yeah, you're not even
zero thoughts. Yeah. I'm not that. So why is this? It doesn't make sense. I had that kind of like anti-hero mindset of like, why me out of all people? It can't be me. So I had a lot of self-doubt because that's how I grew up, right? Mm-hmm. To where I just like the self-esteem wasn't really that high. It's about more self-doubt than self-confidence. So for me, I always questioned it, and I needed to always prove it externally before I would even get the courage to go to the next step in at the beginning, you know?
It's interesting. It remind what you were describing of how you see them reminded me of, I don't know if you've seen this movie by Luc Besson. It's called Lucy, and it's Scarlett Johansson. And you took towards the, you know, she sees everything in the and I've often like it's amazing. I'm like that part of our brain's not activated. Most humans.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I tap into that.
I have got people that I've met who are. Who my wife sees other dimensions, right? People that I met see it. It's just not my gift because instead of seeing it, I feel it.
Yeah.
And it's a goosebumps and it's an energy. It doesn't mean one is right or wrong because it alerts us the same way. If she sees something before she can even tell me, she sees something, I would feel it. And when we come together, we realize at the same moment, we're reacting to that same energy, but just in different ways. Right. But once people start realizing that there's more than one way, that if you can see, doesn't mean like, you know, or if you can feel instead of seeing, doesn't mean that it's not working for you. You just have a very unique way
to
process energy. And once you master that, more shows up, but you've got to master what shows up first before wanting something that, you know, has yet to be activated.
Yeah, for sure. It's what I was saying before about like being a doctor. Like there's so many different spiritual gifts. They present themselves in such unique ways. I have a friend that sees auras, and she sees all the, not just the colors, but signs and symbols and other things that come into the field. And it's so unique. It's just like, wow, I don't see that.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. How did you meet your wife? Were you your journey together?
We met through Facebook, actually.
Oh, okay.
Right. And it's one of the things where I went to Sedona. I was going through a separation, and I was like, you know, moved out of the house. It's been months. And I was like, you know what? I wasn't looking for love. I was like, I knew at that point about vibration, and I knew that I was harboring a lot of hate in my heart and pain. So I went to Sedona to clear all that stuff. And when I cleared it, 4 days later, she showed up. I wasn't even asking. She just showed up. And same thing, apparently a few weeks before she met me, she was in a very abusive relationship, and she, you know, made an intention of releasing everything that didn't belong and doing that. And then I popped up. So we did kind of the same thing, and because we did, our vibration elevated, and we found each other.
Yeah.
Whereas we weren't even looking in it. And that's a beautiful thing, is when you live vibrationally based, the things that you didn't even know you needed or wanted show up before you can even conceptualize, just think about it. And that's the best way to live life, right? It's like you're being guided and being given things before, you know, even though you need them, and you're truly created in love in the best of ways. And that's why for me, like, you know, as logical as I am, the one thing I know for sure is there's no better way than living life than complete divine total surrender to a higher power, whether it's your higher self, God, universe, whatever you want to name it, that's here to guide you for your own best and highest good anyway. Right? So it's guiding you for what you can't even see. So why fight it when it's for your best and highest good? So the way I look at it is that's the only way to live if you want a path of least suffering and the fastest way to get to where you want.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. And it's trust, essentially. You're just divinely trusting. It's hard for a lot of people to understand what that means and feels like, because we're so trained to think through instead of feel and trust what's showing up and everything. But then you don't have to, there's no struggle. There's no stress in your life. Because you're trusting every, you know, what's being presented, and that you're going to be looked after, because it's all for your highest good, as you said. So, yeah, it's really cool. Well, thank you so much. Amazing.
Of course. Thanks for having me. This is like, you know, I love your energy. I love what you're doing for the world. And I just like, you know, I feel really honored that you're helping me get this message out there to whoever is meant to hear it and or see it. So I'm truly honored and grateful.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm honored too. It was such a pleasure to speak with you, and really lovely, just so amazing. I've been an admirer of your work for several years, and I'm just so excited for you to have your new book come out and for you to continue to share the love. It's amazing. So just tell people about your website. So if you, there are amazing free videos and more to learn about Oliver at thespiritualactivator.com. That's thespiritualactivator.com, THE spiritualactivator.com. And if you want to do Oliver's certified healing program, that can be found at geolovehealing.com. And that is geolovehealing.com. And of course, your new book that's coming out in March of 2023, Spiritual Activator.
I'm excited. Yes, Spiritual Activator. You can go on Amazon, type Spiritual Activator. It's by Hay House, a publishing company.
So beautiful. I love Hay House.
That's they're amazing. So grab that. And then honestly, like, you know, I post a lot of free stuff. A lot of stuff that people charge for, I post for free. And, you know, in my socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. I mean, just look for Spiritual Activator. Like, you know, and I put so much free content out there that, like, and that's probably also a great place to just explore.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tatiana. I appreciate you.